Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It's Tuesday morning. A little chilly out there again this morning, I'll have to say. Not as bad as yesterday at this hour, I don't think. But I don't think it's going to be as warm today as it was yesterday. We had a beautiful day, and hopefully we'll get a little more of that good weather going for you this afternoon. You can get out and, I don't know, go to your favorite college campus and protest. Everybody else is doing it.
That sounds like a nice plan.
Doesn't it?
Pack a picnic. You might be there for a while.
Yeah, true.
You want to have some snacks.
If you just wake up this morning feeling anti-Semitic, go just pick the college campus of your choice. That seems to be what's going on these days. We're hoping to get you a interview here coming up with Isaac Willauer. He's with Young Voices. And so he's one of these part of the generation that's still on college campuses these days. We had a fantastic guest on yesterday. Alexandra did such a good job talking about being a student leader over at SLU and her reaction to the Dylan Mulvaney speech last night, which went off without a hitch because he's a screaming lefty speaking on a very liberal Jesuit college campus.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, one or two protesters showed up to denounce his way of life. But they didn't get onto the campus, and they didn't cause any disruptions, because generally speaking, that's not what we do.
Because we believe in freedom of speech, that the left does not. You have to differentiate that.
It's the left that does that. Yeah. So, what's going on in Yale and Harvard and Columbia? And we're hoping to get to Todd Pyra later. He's up at the campus of Yale this morning, where they're having all kinds of problems. For sure. By the way, let me wish you a gentle Passover to all of our Jewish friends out there, since today is the start of Passover. And I know a lot of people who will be honoring that today. Just want to get that out there. A little later, we will talk to Cam Edwards, because the Biden administration's at it again. They're talking about gun bans, this time the ghost gun rule. And we'll get the latest on that for you from Cam Edwards about 7:35 this morning. Right now, though, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Trump Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for reproductive care.
Miss, I'm going to need you to step out of the vehicle, take a pregnancy test.
This is a silly ad being run by Governor Newsom from California, trying to scare women into believing that cops are going to follow them if they try to leave the state to get abortions. It's just silly season.
If I were in charge, I would send the Justice Department after those universities, because this is unacceptable.
Yeah, there you have it. Ron DeSantis speaking out on some of the anti-Semitic demonstrations he's seeing at these liberal East Coast universities.
I just want to say before we begin, these are all Biden trials. This is done as election interference. Everybody knows it.
If you need more evidence of that, by the way, this morning they'll be holding a hearing before the trial to try to find Donald Trump $10,000 because the judge thinks he violated a gag order.
This is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief.
Jonathan Turley, they're speaking out yesterday about the details regarding, you know, Donald Trump's situation in this case. We've talked about it a lot. The question of whether or not a payment to Michael Cohen, who is absolutely insane, has been convicted of lying and perjury in court and hates Donald Trump now, will be the key witness in this trumped up trial up in New York. So we've talked about that at length. We'll get to more of that for you coming up a little later. Mark Lotter is going to join us. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. In the meantime, I want to give you an update. We had Senator Denny Hoskins on the show yesterday morning. If you didn't see it, there was a dust-up between Senator Hoskins and Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on, I believe, Friday night down in Perryville. Because Senator Hoskins' wife says that as Jay Ashcroft left the stage speaking, he wagged his finger in her face and told her she didn't know what she was talking about or something like that. And Denny Hoskins got up and confronted him over saying things to his wife. We invited them both onto the show. Senator Hoskins took us up on it. Secretary Ashcroft turned us down. He said he's spoken enough about it. He didn't have anything else to say. This was what Senator Hoskins told us yesterday about his side of the story, just in case you missed our interview here yesterday morning. Listen.
Well, this past Friday night, we were in Perry County at Perry County Lincoln Days. Jay Ashcroft had just come off the stage after he gave his speech. I know he and Senator Igel kind of traded a couple barbs back and forth at each other. And as he came off the stage and walking through the crowd, my wife was sitting seated at a table, and next thing I know, out of the corner of my eye, I was sitting about 3 feet away from her. He stuck a finger in her face and said something, barked off to her, and said something about, "You can't handle the truth, can you?" And I did what any husband would do when his wife's being bullied. I went back to the back of the room and said a few choice words to Jay Ashcroft. I asked him what my wife did. In the video, he said something like, "She looked at me," which is ridiculous. And I told him I'd never do anything like that to his wife. Our spouses and our families are always off limit.
Yeah, so that was Senator Hoskins yesterday, not backing down from the colorful language, if you heard the tape, accusing Jay Ashcroft of being a coward for doing what he did. The dispute seemed to center over whether or not the Secretary of State, which Hoskins is running for, that seat, and Ashcroft is currently in that seat, has the power to restrict funding, at least some funding, for public libraries in the state. If you disagree with the content of some of the books, some of the pro, you know, LGBTQXYZ books, then some of them which border on porn, some of these candidates, including Hoskins, said they would restrict that funding. Ashcroft's position is he doesn't have that power. That seems to be the heart of the dispute here. So yesterday, Ashcroft went on a podcast that is put together by Judge Mike Carter, who you hear running ads on this radio station all the time now. So he did talk to Mike Carter about this. This was his reaction to what happened with Denny Hoskins.
Well, you know, it's stressful running a campaign. I just think the stress got to him. Obviously, there are disagreements on policy, and I do tend to point out places where the Senate has failed to do things that they should have done. And I think emotion just got the better of him. And, you know, hopefully he's going to have Sunday off, and, you know, it's in the past.
All right.
I know we only played one clip from that, so we don't know all that was said by Jay in that interview, but he didn't deny that he did that to Hoskins' wife.
Yeah, I don't know if he denied it in a different part. I sent the clip in there to Ethan, and we can double check on that. I don't know. That's interesting. But I do know that I got the impression I got, and I could be wrong about this, is that Jay was making the point in his speech, the Secretary of State doesn't have this power. My guess is maybe he noticed that Mrs. Hoskins was looking at him when he was saying that, and then he made some comment to her as he walked by.
I mean, could have rolled her eyes, and I'm sure that would be frustrating to see someone do that, but... I mean, you're an elected official running for another office. You're going to deal with that. And I'm not trying to slam Ashcroft, but I mean, you and I have gotten that. And we're not elected officials. Like, that's just part of it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that, again, I'm speculating. I don't know all that happened, but just from the little bit we heard, I don't think that would then justify him wagging his finger at her.
Jay told me yesterday.
Is really what happened.
I neither insulted his wife nor pointed at her. And he sees Senator Hoskins' outburst as concerning, and I hope he gets some help. That was a text message that he sent to me. So, All right, coming up, we'll get to Isaac Willour, talk a little bit more about some of these crazy protests becoming violent in some cases, these anti-Israel protests on college campuses. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Non-students. Those protests, I did not feel comfortable walking by at all. They did scare me. I would not feel safe going by them. They were spewing a lot of hatred and vitriol at Jews. They were telling them to go back to Poland. They were calling them pigs, things of this kind. It made me, that protest made me feel extremely unsafe.
Yeah, that was a professor from Columbia University, a Jewish professor, on the eve of Passover, telling the News Nation last night how upset she was and how scared she felt walking by this crowd of, I'm sorry, in many cases, spoiled college students who have no idea what the reality is with the terrorists that live in Gaza. And don't care what they did to Israel on October 7th. That's amazing to me that we have that lack of disconnect in this country right now. Isaac Willour with us this morning. He's a political analyst and a commentator for Young Voices. And Isaac, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Yeah. What about that? Like we're seeing this on the University of like the Columbia University campus. Yale, I understand, has been having some problems. Harvard had to shut its gates to the public yesterday. Classes are being canceled. What's your take on this?
Yeah, so it's interesting. This Columbia situation in particular, I mean, it's the whole system, the whole situation is revealing one thing about America's elite universities that is decidedly not elite, which is their ability to maintain control of their own campus. So President Shafiq over at Columbia puts out this statement talking about how she's like deeply saddened by anti-Jewish agitators. I need you to be more than deeply saddened, right? Your university's seriousness and legitimacy are being threatened by the most ridiculous kind of activism, so much so that protesters are encamped on your premises. and creating an environment that is so intimidating that professors feel unsafe walking around their own university. It's more than sad, right? It's scary because the Columbia situation is stretching just more, is more than just the university's social bonds that are being threatened. It's the future of the institution because, like, tell me honestly, if you're watching this go down at Columbia, you're watching people get dragged away at Yale, are you even thinking for a minute about sending your kid there? I mean, we had this conversation, right? So I'm 22, right? And so I have a lot of discussions with conservatives who are my age about higher ed.
Right.
And we talk about, oh, what do we do about the Ivies? And the question, and I want to be able to say, no, you can be a conservative at the Ivies. You can be a normal person at the Ivies, and it'll be fine. And it might be a little bit progressive, but you can still be a beacon of truth. Maybe you can't. Maybe this is the end of the Ivies, which, I mean, I don't know how bad of an outcome that'd be at this point.
You have to wonder. I mean, when we watch those college presidents in front of Congress saying that they couldn't do the flip test on this, right? If there were people on their campuses calling for, death to people in the Sudan or I mean, you name the ethnicity of the group around, there's no way they would have put up with what they put up with. They don't have the tolerance for that.
No, absolutely. And I mean, in terms of the protesters themselves, right, I don't think most college students chanting pro-Hamas slogans are the foggiest idea what they're talking
right.
about when they chant about the river, the sea, or the Jews. But it's like, they're wrong, right? They're mad because a social media infographic somewhere told them to be mad, right? They told them that supporting Hamas was synonymous with being a good person. I don't think all of the anti-Semitism we're seeing right now is rooted in malice, right? A lot of it is rooted in stupidity. But then you have to have the discussion. We're having to have the discussion of, is it malice or stupidity that's calling the shots of the Ivy Leagues? And that's a testament to how far this has fallen.
Yeah, stupidity straight from the college administrator's office in most cases. Isaac Willauer, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
y'all take care.
Thanks for your young voice on this, because 22 years old, man. Lots of wisdom right there. That's a great observation. It may not be malice in many cases. It's just stupidity.
It's ignorance. Ignorance
of the facts.
I mean, think if they were saying death to LGBTQ, death to black people. I mean, we would nor should we ever stand for that. That is hate speech.
The Department of and I'm not a huge hate speech fan.
But
how would
that not?
Charges. But the Department of Justice would be out there investigating these groups if they were doing that. You're absolutely right. There's no doubt about it. Coming up, we'll talk to former Senator John Lamping. He's got some thoughts on that education bill that has now passed in Missouri. We'll be back.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Lots of reporting on local TV this morning about, once again, the underachievement of local schools. Not getting the job done, not performing where they should. I understand there's a lot of pressure there in certain schools to get kids to do homework who have different situations at home. At the end of the day, they're not getting the test scores. The kids are not retaining the knowledge. What do you do about that? Throw more money at it. That would probably be the answer from a lot of people. What the SB 727, the school choice, as they call it, a bill that passed last week that I don't know if the governor signed it yet or not, includes a lot of spending for sure. And we know from the past that doesn't always translate into better learning. We've got former Senator John Lamping on the phone this morning. John, how are you?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Kim. Nice to be with you.
Absolutely. So everybody wants more money, more money, more money. If we just have that, we can fix the problem. What are your issues with this 727 that passed?
Well, so this is being branded as the school choice bill. And from all I can tell, and I think the three of us would agree, that aside of this one bill, they really haven't done a whole lot. They haven't really passed anything meaningful, and they're all pretending as if they did something remarkable. But if I were to start the session and say to you, hey, here's what I want to do. I want to expand funding for government schools by $400 million out of the state budget into government schools. You would look at me and say, well, what are you talking about? I mean, the schools are failing, and we're mandated by Constitution to spend at least 25% of our entire budget on government schools. And I said, well, but you're going to get $25 million more to the Most Scholars Program, and you're going to expand charter schools in Boone County. And you would look at me and say, well, you're spending $400 million on a system that's not working, and why would you call this a choice bill? This is a government expansion of public school bill. And that's exactly what it is. You know, what's interesting, though, is this is the perfect example of how legislation occurs in Jeff City. And in that, it's no secret that Rex Ziegfeld is a major supporter of school choice. He funds, you know, millions of dollars go to candidates, millions of dollars go to lobbyists, money goes to different education groups to push school choice. And at the end of the day, for all those millions of dollars, all we got was a marginal expansion of the school choice program. And everyone's running around branding this as a choice bill and celebrating the fact that it passed. And it's just really sad that that's how bills can pass in Jeff City, is when enough money gets behind them. But it's a complete farce to call this a choice bill. This is an expansion of government schools by $400 million at the minimum.
We're talking about how not much has really been accomplished in Jeff City, and I would agree. I had initially heard the IP reform bill was dead. Now we're hearing they could vote on it this week. Do you have any indication about that? And would that have an effect on the signatures that they're collecting right now for abortion to be enshrined in the Constitution?
No effect at all on any IP signature gathering that's going on now. You know, you're getting close now to the deadline for, you know, the other one that's out there is the pro-abortion, obviously, and then the other one that's out there has to do with gambling. And, you know, it remains to be seen that if this IP bill were to come on in August, is that the ballot that the abortion bill is on? I don't even know. I think the thing with the IP reform bill is that the assumption is that they're going to have to move the previous question, which is a parliamentary procedure to shut down the debate in the Senate. And the reason they didn't pass this bill early is because they don't want to do that early, and they may very well lack the will to do it late. So, no, we're going to have to take this abortion bill head on in the fall and do, you know, do the best we can. And the pro-abortion types are very confident that they'll get the signatures they need. It's a sad testament. You know, most of these signatures will come out of St. Louis and Kansas City and Boone County, and the rest of the state really won't participate in that because the rest of the state's not for it. And then that's how they'll try to get this to win, is by running up the vote totals in those areas.
So I'll ask what the answer to this may be obvious, but I've always wondered. There are states in this country that have passed voucher programs. I believe, I could be wrong, Arkansas is one of them, where your money is portable. Why can't we clear that barrier in Missouri?
Because the majorities that Republicans hold are held primarily in the rural areas. In rural areas, the government school is the focal point of the community. And now Arkansas could say the same thing, but the difference between those other states, particularly Arkansas and our state, is that the governor stands up and takes control of the situation and works with the legislature to get full school choice passed. Mike Parson is completely silent on this issue. And that's because Mike is kind of a go-along, get-along governor, but quite frankly, he'd like to see the schools be even more further funded than they are, and he's quite happy that if we're going to do choice, we'll do it like we did with this bill, which is, think about it, for $25 million expansion of the tax credit, the Most Scholars Tax Credit, is $400 million more in fresh government spending. And so that's the biggest reason why. You know, we've got three candidates running for governor, and I think of the three, Bill Eigel is the one most interested in truly getting school choice passed. But whoever it is that lands in that office, they'll have to take an extreme leadership position.
Yes.
And ask for more than a bill. Like this, to say that this is a choice bill is just pure marketing BS. And I, you know, I think I would still be shocked to see, certainly Mike Kehoe would not carry the choice as far as Arkansas has, and maybe Jay and certainly Bill would try to do that. But that's the biggest reason, Mark. You've got to make it a priority as a governor, and it's never been Mike Parson. It's not even on his priority list.
It's a great point, and I appreciate your honesty on it. John, thank you.
Nice being with you guys. Have a good week.
Absolutely, yeah. Love that analysis of that, because it's absolutely the truth. It's going to take a lot of leadership to get that done in the state of Missouri, and we've not had a lot of leadership in the state of Missouri in a while now. That's just the truth of it when it comes to school choice specifically, and you could probably move on to COVID and some other issues for that matter, in my opinion. Coming up in other news with Ethan in just a couple of minutes, next hour, hoping to check in with Todd Patrick Pyro, who's been reporting up on the campus of Yale University today. I'm trying to get a hold of him. I'm hoping to get him on here at 7:20, and then we'll talk to Cam Edwards about the new ghost gun effort on the part of the administration. We're back after this.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
If you didn't know, you will know now. There is going to be a pink moon. It actually started yesterday, but tonight it's going to be at its peak illumination around, ooh, it should be around 6:50, I believe, our time, which seems really early, but according to NASA, that's when it's supposed to happen. This is supposed to go on. It started last night, well, Monday morning-ish, and should go through Thursday morning. Now, it's not really going to be pink. It's just going to be a huge full moon. The name actually comes from moss pink, which is a kind of phlox, which is a flower that is in northeastern the U.S., I guess.
Really?
So they just kind of, that's when this phlox decides to bloom. So they dubbed it the pink moon.
When we were up in North City yesterday, the moon was bright in the afternoon.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a ripoff that it's not pink, though.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, talk to those guys too.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to it any more than a regular full moon. It just
pretty much.
Pink.
I think it's supposed to be a little bit brighter, but they just call it the pink moon because of the phlox.
I will not be making a point to go outside to look at that.
No, come on.
You might be outside. Who knows? It looks like on Friday, Pace Magazine released a blistering critique of Taylor Swift's latest album, The Tortured Poets Department, without attributing it to any specific author. The decision stemmed from a previous incident in 2019 when the publication faced a barrage of hateful messages, including threats of violence directed at the journalist who penned the review. In a statement, the magazine revealed that the intense backlash from a faction of Swifties led them to opt for anonymity this time, evidently unwilling to endure a repeat of the ordeal.
Were they highly critical of it?
Yes.
So you can't say anything negative without Taylor Swift's crazy fans coming after you and probably making death threats.
Well, that's a given. We should know that by now.
People need to chill out. Oh my gosh.
I will say this, and I told Carl. Carl gave me this story earlier, but I dislike Pace Magazine. They seem like they are. It's almost like a hipster magazine. You know what? Okay. I mean? They're better than everybody.
Okay.
So it's so their thing to hate on everything.
They hate Taylor Swift because it's not cool to hate Taylor
right.
Swift.
They want the indie artists and not the popular. So. Maybe they deserve some of the backlash. Who knows? It looks like Los Angeles is embarking on a new pilot initiative aimed to tackling crime by deploying unarmed civilians instead of police officers to handle nonviolent mental health crises. Launched approximately a month ago, the unarmed model of crisis response comprises two teams of mental health practitioners operating around the clock 7 days a week. These teams are tasked with responding to incidences traditionally handled by law enforcement, such as welfare checks and reports of toxic intoxication and indecent exposure. And the program's efficiency will be assessed over the year with a plan of potentially expanding the base. If it actually works out, they might go to three teams.
It must really suck to be that dumb.
Yeah, honestly. It's not working in St. Louis, and now they're working restricted hours. They're only available Monday through Friday, like 8 to 5.
Which is when most of the crime is not happening.
And when most of the mental health crises probably happen or are happening in the evenings or on the weekends.
Also,
I'm told they're not available.
Wouldn't you say police would probably tell us, yeah, that's what a lot of those situations escalate to, say, a shooting?
That's
what there's
I was
mental
thinking.
Illness or drugs involved.
Yeah,
send the unarmed people there who don't have the training. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let me volunteer. Pick me to go do that job, please.
Good luck with that, boys. Authorities in Florida have arrested a couple. Their names are Kia Enders and her boyfriend Dakota Jones on charges of creating a counterfeit lottery ticket in an attempt to claim a $1 million prize. The alleged fraud involving splicing together two scratch-off tickets to form a winning ticket, with one half of each ticket carefully pieced together to display the prize. And despite their efforts, lottery officials quickly detected the deception by checking the serial numbers.
Was it the masking tape that was the giveaway?
She said the excuse was she was scratching it off in the rain and it ripped, so she taped it back together to
nice
turn
try.
It in.
Oh, so it was a scratcher ticket.
It was a scratcher ticket.
Oh, I see. Hey, yeah, somebody, they all have that little code on the back. Right. All they have to do is scan it, and they know if it's a winner or not.
Somebody in St. Louis, I want to say St. Peter's or St. Charles, won $1,000 for life.
$1,000 a week for life.
For life.
I was like, for life? What? $1,000? You just get a check every week for
$1,000?
$1,000 for life in Bidenomics doesn't work too well.
Sue, you sure you don't want to play?
Yep.
She's good.
Sue wins.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Coming up, we are hoping to get a live report this morning from Todd Pyro. Mr. Kakaw, he's up on the campus of Yale University this morning, so stand by for that.
Kakaw!
We'll check in with the Cam Edwards at the bottom of the hour for more on the Biden administration's effort to stop ghost guns.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.